Welcome to Recovery Rocks, where we talk about all things recovery and music. I'm Tawny.
And I'm Lisa, and we're really glad you're here. Hey, everybody. We are back. It's Lisa, and I'm here with, as always, my favorite person.
Hey, it's Tawny.
Welcome. Today, we wanted to talk about forgiveness. It is something that keeps us, I think, where we can be in a place of forgiveness, talking about forgiving ourselves and others. For me, it's just brought me a whole lot more peace in my life. It's certainly an ongoing issue that I make mistakes every day. I have to forgive myself for some big, some small. There are always going to be other people, the things we can't control outside ourselves that, you know, we have to figure out a way to make peace with the things that upset us and that hurt us, and to try and work towards forgiveness. And I know this topic can be, can certainly be a triggering one. So we are really just coming to this from a place of the idea of being open to forgiveness and understanding fully and appreciating that, you know, there are certainly things that need to be handled in a different way than just kind of trying to go to that space. So what do you think about that, Tawny?
Yeah, this is an important conversation. I think everybody deals with this. For me, it rings very true in my recovery, because I'm learning about my codependent nature. I'm learning about I definitely have some like enabling tendencies, and this, I feel like that's definitely connected to what you're talking about. And I will say, I say on here a lot that I'm not a 12-step person, and that's, you know, one of the great things that makes Lisa and I different. But I am a big fan of Al-Anon, and that has been, I don't go on a regular basis, but when I'm going through something, you know, particularly challenging with a loved one, I go to Al-Anon, usually virtually. And Al-Anon is for people that, I don't even know how to describe it. It's, what does Al-Anon stand for?
I don't know exactly what it stands for, but basically it's a 12-step program that follows sort of the AA structure, but is designed for the people who have someone in their lives who is their sort of qualifier, and have maybe active addiction or somebody like that in their lives. And it is a program for those people impacted by the other person's issues to take care of themselves and protect themselves and heal themselves.
Yes.
And not be taken down by the other person in their life. And I believe the three C's in Al-Anon are to remember about whoever or whatever it is that's your qualifier that got you into that room is, you didn't cause it, you can't control it, and you can't cure it. And to remember those three things when thinking about the other person and, you know, being able to turn back and take care of yourself.
Yeah, it's like, I remember I came to you last year and I was having a really hard time, and you gave me those three C's, and that was super helpful. And I, you know, you and I and people in recovery tend to be more on the empathetic side, more on the I want to help side. So it's a delicate balance of how do you be helpful versus how are you trying to like control the outcome for somebody? And that is something I'm still learning. Al-Anon definitely gives me tools for that. Reading books about codependency, reading books about boundaries, you know, things like that are definitely really helpful resources. But it's its own form of recovery. Like you said, separate 12-step program of, you know, of getting caught up in other people's self-destructive patterns, or even if it's not a self-destructive pattern, like, you know, if I have some loved ones that are going through some medical issues, and I wish that I could do more to help, and I feel like that I'm not doing enough to help. And even though it's technically not what Al-Anon is for, the principles still apply, because I'm like, I can't take somebody's medical diseases away. Like, right. That's not something I can do. What I can do is say, I love you. Let me know what you need. I can help, you know, in the following ways. And that's essentially all that you can do. You can't take away someone's substance abuse disorder. You can't take away somebody's cancer. You know, and it's really difficult for someone in recovery, because we drank or used to control reality, right?
Yeah.
So it makes sense that we still have these lingering control issues that show up in our existing relationships.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think it makes me, when I think of people, you know, I get asked a lot, as I'm sure you do, about, you know, how do I, you know, my sister or my this person or that person, I think they really are, you know, it's been bad and they're struggling, and how do I help them? You know, I always, for people in recovery, it's important to remember, and this is true, like in 12 step with the sponsor-sponsee relationship, you can't, you know, I will end up going out and drinking before I will get someone sober of my own will, right? And that is, you know, the need to protect yourself and your recovery in all of these situations is essential. That's why I think a lot of people, you know, there are a lot of people who have a lot of addiction throughout the family, and maybe someone is in recovery, but, you know, they're getting pulled into a whole situation with another family member. That person, they are frequently in a 12-step program for whatever they're in recovery from, and in Al-Anon. Those people are called double winners, because you get the tools to protect yourself in a way that's like, you know, as much help and support as you can be, but also acknowledging that you need your own help and support in dealing with that relationship.
Hearing you talk about that reminded me of this movie. Well, it reminded me that of, you know, what we hear all the time is, like, you know, addiction or substance abuse it's a family disease. Yeah. It impacts everyone in your circle, your friends, your family, your partner. Anyone who cares about you is impacted. So, you know, we tell ourselves, I'm only hurting myself. You know, it's one of things we tell ourselves. That's not true. Everyone is involved. So I was thinking about this movie that came out on Netflix a couple of years ago. It was with Abby Jacobson, who's, you know, Abby from Broad City, and Dave Franco. And, you know, these are people that are typically comedic actors who played this. It's about, Dave Franco plays a heroin addict, and she plays his incredibly codependent sister. And it's really just like this hour. It's short. It's like hour and a half, like almost character study of like the addict and the codependent sister who's just as sick. And I thought it was such a brilliant portrayal, first of all, to see two comedic actors take on such a dark performance. But it showed so accurately how, you know, she's trying to plan her husband's surprise party, but she keeps getting pulled away because she has to keep rescuing her brother. And it's such an accurate depiction of trying to solve someone else's problem, how addiction really is a family disease. And it's cool to see it. We're in the space of where we're finally starting to see substance abuse accurately represented in film and media, instead of, you know, the traditional, you have to hit rock bottom to get help. We're seeing recovery with nuance, or even just, this is just a story about addiction specifically, not recovery at all. And, but I've never seen a show like that really is more focused on the codependent loved one.
Yeah. And I think that it is, that's when you talk about, like you said, the family disease, it part of it is, I think, a real journey when we talk about forgiveness, right, and forgiving ourselves and others. One of the things that I think, you know, Al-Anon can give you is that sort of like a gift of compassion, but also with that self-preservation around. And sometimes, like, I know how upset I can get when I'm trying to help somebody and it's not working. And, you know, I have to accept, obviously, that their journey is their own. And I can only show up for what I can show up for. But then I also have to step away from what I can't control. And that can make me feel incredibly guilty, right?
Yeah.
Like, I should be fixing it. I should be doing more. I should whatever. But I have to forgive myself for not going overboard. And part of being able to forgive myself in that situation and in other situations is asking myself, well, what would happen next, right? What if I did this differently? What would happen next? So what if I, you know, continue to try to call this person who was trying to get sober and call every day and be like, you know, how's it going? Blah, 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 blah. And you get the definition of insanity being doing the same thing over and over and getting the same result. And there's no end to that hamster wheel. And when I can see that there's no end to that hamster wheel, or I'm not turning the hamster wheel, then it's much easier to forgive myself for taking a step back from that situation.
So not to put this on you, because yeah, I don't know the answer either.
No.
So where does the forgiveness come in? And how do we do that?
So basically for me, forgiveness in that situation where I am wanting to help somebody, but it doesn't seem to be working, right? I can like say, here are the things that I suggest you do, and please check in with me and text me and blah, blah, blah. And then the person doesn't text me. So I'm sort of like, hey, are you okay? And coming back. And then when they disappear, or when I just really, you know, realize that it is not, what I'm doing is not helping, forgiveness for me comes in, I will automatically go to guilt and feel guilty, like there's something wrong with me that I couldn't fix this person. And so forgiveness is found along with letting go of that guilt by saying that if I continue to do this, it would be it would just be the definition of insanity, saying the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. And, you know, what if I keep going down this road, where does it lead? And when the answer is, I don't, you know, with not with me changing the situation, then I'm able to forgive myself for not being able to change that situation and let go of the guilt around it. And it's interesting that we start talking about this, because it has taken me a very long time to actually do that, to actually be willing to say, okay, here's someone who engaged with me. I said, I'm here. I will do whatever I can to help you. You know, you can text me, you can call me. And they're not there. And I used to really dwell on those situations and used to really, you know, beat myself up about, not being able to fix it for them or not being able to do more. And over the years, I have to say, this is one of the things that has come over the long term of where I'm at now. It is much easier for me to now, and maybe it's just because I've seen it happen over and over in my recovery, to say, I know what this is. This is something I can't fix. And I know that this guilt that I'm feeling, and, you know, this almost like anger I'm feeling at myself, is for not being able to fix this problem. And I need to accept that I can't. I've shown up in the ways I can, and I will continue to show up in the ways I can. But I'm going to forgive myself for not being able to fix this. And I'm going to let go of the guilt. And it happens a lot more. It comes a lot more easily. That is one of the things that took a lot of of times to go through. I mean, I remember like after I had gone through all the steps and after I had a year sober, I started working with sponsees, and I've had amazing sponsees. I have also had sponsees who were not ready, who were not willing to sort of work with me the only way I know how to work it, which is how my sponsor worked it with me. And when they disappeared or when they got mad at me or when they just, you know, it was a bad fit, I would beat the crap out of myself about that for a long time. And I don't do that anymore. Like over time and over enough experiences with that, I can accept like, okay, this person isn't ready to get help. And, or this person isn't going to find their path the way I found my path. Their path is going to look different. And that's fine too. That is also not on me. And I can let that go. It's funny because now that we're talking about this, I think about it when I speak often to, I speak mostly to law firms. And so I will often get a question of how do I help? I think, you know, my brother is struggling. I think my brother has an alcohol problem and I don't know what to do. You know, how do I help that person? How do I talk to them? How do I help them? And, you know, the talking to them conversation is frequently just, you know, kind of that, you know, I've noticed you haven't been yourself. Are you okay? I'm here if you, whatever. But one of the things that I tell people is first off, okay, just first before you even think about how to help them, understand you can't fix this for them. Like, and I will say, you know, you may talk to them, but it's not going to get them to get help. And people seem genuinely surprised at that. And I get the feeling that they're sort of like, wow, that's kind of cold. But it's my experience that, you know, and I think people are better served understanding what they can do and doing that than trying to bang their heads against the wall on something that they can't do or can't control. And I think that's where Al-Anon comes in for a lot of people. Because when there's somebody or some situation like you're talking about that you can't fix, we get this weird guilt kind of thing. Like, but I should be able to fix it. Like, seriously, how do you fix cancer? I mean, you can't. But still we get that. And we have to forgive ourselves for not being able to solve other people's problems.
Well, everything that you're saying, I feel like the underlying theme there is adjusting our expectations.
Yes. Yes.
Our expectations of like what realistically what we think we are capable of just as humans, yeah. And our expectations of what our loved ones are what we think they should be capable of. Like, it's easy to harbor resentment from, like you said, someone might reach out saying, my brother has a drinking problem, I don't know how to help. And this person could have the very best interest at heart, but they might be expecting the wrong thing. Like, I don't understand. I love him so much. I don't understand. He lost custody of his kids. Why can't he just stop drinking? And it's like, to you, you're expecting your love and losing custody of children. To you, that would be a breaking point. But you're also needing to keep in mind, this person is not in their right mind. This person. So like, you can't expect normal social norms or social mores to apply to this, to apply to helping a loved one, because like, maybe in like a, you know, to be maybe a little reductive, you have to zoom out completely and maybe just help them get enough food for the day.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, like you might need to, maybe you have to drive them to the grocery store once a week. Maybe you have to come over and cook meals for them every Sunday. You know, like maybe you come over and you take them for a walk.
Yeah.
That might be where they are. And you can't expect anything more. And like, I think that that is such a disconnect, because if someone who's not personally experienced substance abuse or alcoholism or an eating disorder, and anything like that, if they've not personally experienced it, they can't understand that their loved one is not fully themselves.
And they're not well.
There's something going on with their brain, and you have to meet them where they are. And so I say all of that, to, you know, leading into forgiveness of, if you can just, you know, if I say this hoping I can figure this out, but if you can adjust your expectations, there might be less resentment forming, which can mean easier to forgive. And, you know, I feel like there could be a trickling there. And it's just so much more complicated than we're taught, that, you know, even if a loved one goes to rehab, that's the beginning, you know, like,
right.
That is the very, very that beginning. Is. And a lot of people think, well, I don't understand. He stopped drinking, but he's still in a funk. And it's like, well, yeah, like he is meeting himself for the first time. He is figuring out how to navigate life on life's terms without self-medicating. Like these are really challenging things to figure out. So like, which is why programs like Al-Anon or reading articles or books about codependency can help give you that insight of like how you can show up for your loved ones.
Exactly. Exactly. And it is like, it is, I think, an ongoing process too, when you start talking about people who are close to you. And, you know, like when someone's going through something, and there's a lot of people in Al-Anon who are in situations like that, where there's money stolen, there's all kinds of damage done, you know, physically, often, certainly mentally. And, you know, you might not be ready yet to forgive it, right? Yeah. So forgiveness is not
That's a great point.
It brings us, I feel like it brings us peace, but you can't forgive until you're ready to forgive, and forgiveness, you know, is not making an excuse for somebody, right? Like there, or just, if you're not ready to forgive, you've got to work through that before you can do it. It's not like, you know, and sometimes I've come across people who have been like, you know, stolen from everybody they know and this and that. And then they get sober and they expect everybody to be like, hey, welcome back. You know, like we in recovery, you know, that for us in recovery, that is what we, you know, call what we work through the wreckage of our past, right? Is what we call it in 12 step. And when we get, you know, we ultimately, or not at the end, but like step 8 is making amends to those people we harmed. And in that situation, you know, maybe the other person may not have forgiven you yet. Like I had, when I did my amends, just about everybody I did amends to was like, oh, you know what? Don't worry about, you know, I'd apologize for ruining holidays, for not showing up for like just being a terrible person, for leaving people in bars, for like, you know, and they would say, I'm just glad you're getting help. And, you know, the biggest amends you can make to me is to stay sober. And, but I did have one person who was like, you were so annoying. Like I couldn't stand being around you. You would constantly tell the same story over and over. You were too loud. You were all this stuff. And I was like, about to get like really upset. Like, well, you should be forgiving me. And you know, that's not what step 8 is about. Step 8 is about forgiving ourselves, right? And wow. The other person's reaction is not what I'm after here. What I'm after for is cleaning up my mess that lets me forgive myself for those things I did when I was drinking, which don't define who I am.
And I'm glad that you brought up that part about amends, because I remember I reached out to you for support on this, where, you know, one of my good friends, we used to party together. She's now sober, but she wanted to make amends to me. She did something pretty bad. And I remember telling you, like, I don't want to have that conversation, but I know that this is important for her recovery, but I don't want to, I cannot handle going back there.
Right.
And you helped me, you know, navigate that conversation of like, you know, and I just told her, I was like, kind of like you said, your friend said to you, I was like, I love you. I forgive you. You don't need to say anything. Like I personally cannot handle going back there. I don't want to go back to that headspace, but I'm so happy that you're sober and you're doing better. And like, let's move forward. And that's what we did. And, you know, we didn't dig it back up. It's just understood. She did something that she knows she shouldn't have done. And that's in the past. And it's like, and we are stronger now because of it. So, you know, forgiveness doesn't have to mean, it doesn't have to be this long, drawn out, you know, sobbing conversation.
No,
so sorry I did this. It can be. It definitely can be. But it could also be, we're both in different places. Let's just move forward. I love you. And those are, it's kind of like the expectation thing. You've got to kind of feel it out.
Yeah, yeah. And once you had that conversation, you know, she can forgive herself. She has made her amends. She recognized it. She made her. So now she did what she needed to do in 12-step, but she doesn't get to control your process. And
exactly.
Your process of forgiving her is maybe different and maybe long. And maybe it's, you know, let's move on and I'm going to forgive, but I'm not necessarily going to forget. Like, I know you're capable of acting this way, or, you know, or maybe, mm-hmm. maybe it doesn't, but that doesn't matter from her end. It is your process. So
and
I know we have
that.
To wrap up. Yes.
And I appreciate
yes.
that.
We're all on our own. We're all on our own time frames with forgiveness in any given situation, and we can't control someone else's ability or interest in forgiving. So end up, because I know we're running long. I will make music minute today. Sorry seems to be the hardest word from Elton John.
Perfect.
Do you have a favorite Elton John song?
Should have prepared me before you asked me such a large question.
Oh, okay.
You know what's like? I love what? Philadelphia Freedom.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And I love when he collaborates with Gaga.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, anybody collaborating with Gaga, we love.
True.
Did you eat your Oreos, your Gaga Oreos?
So I bought two boxes and I ate one of them. I still have another box.
These were the limited edition Chromatica yes. Lady Gaga Oreos.
There are these really, they're like pink Oreos with green cream filling.
Delicious.
And they're like vanilla. They're really good.
Ooh. Oh, I would like that.
Yeah.
All right. We get a thumbs up on that.
Yes.
Okay.
So let us know about how you're, I don't know. Forgiveness. I feel like
this was a heavy episode.
Yes. Have a good week.
Yeah. Have a good week. Bye. Thanks for listening. We hope you like what you heard. If so, please hit subscribe and consider rating and reviewing us so others can find us. Tawny, how can our listeners find you?
You can find me at Tawny M. Lara on all of the social medias. You can find my blog, sobrietyparty.com. Lisa, how can we find you and your amazing book?
My book is Girl Walks Out of a Bar, and it is available at bookstores everywhere and online. And you can find me at lisasmithadvisory.com. And I'm on social media at Girl Walks Out. Thanks for listening.